We know that the world is changing and becoming more techy, as they say, with the increase of the use of health applications and electronic health records. How does this trend affect the health sector industry, specifically in the Philippines?
Oh, you know, I think it's like almost a holy grail. You know, there's a lot of things needed for digital. You know, one is a good commercial model. Second is a great bandwidth to be able to, you know, allow people better access of content and data, especially when you get to healthcare. So we've started on our online selling of healthcare goods, you know, for our clients, and we piloted that this year with great success, and we plan to expand that, you know, more aggressively in the coming years. It's a great platform, as I said, for the kids, for the younger generation. That is really their medium of instruction, information, and source of shopping. Because with the traffic, with the access of, you know, trying to work out where to buy things, the online access has been really key for consumer healthcare. For the chronic diseases or the prescription products, you know, I think the electronic records is definitely something that would really help. You know, I know that there are some major hospitals now that are piloting electronic sort of records. And I think that's really good, you know, particularly in terms of allowing and empowering patients for self-management of disease. I don't know if you know, but most of the, in the data shows that more than 50% of our population are actually engaged in health, in self-care. So they just manage things on their own because it's just too expensive and difficult to see a doctor. I've shared with you the growing opportunity because there's now an implementation of telehealth, you know, for patients to access 24/7. That is really, really good development for those, you know, who want to talk to a doctor, you know, for primary care diseases, or these are the common diseases like flu or fever or symptomatic sort of treatments. At least they get immediate care and immediate advice. Or digital for information of healthcare is also very key, for not only for the consumer, but also the one that we're developing now for pharmacists, so they could better manage their patients. So there's pharmacy continuing education that we will launch this year, which will be online and through an application or through an app, where most of the young pharmacists who graduate could be able to engage in continuous medical education and reference. So there's a lot of these support things happening for using online. But definitely for a population such as ours, and for the many who are in rural areas, digital healthcare technology is very, very key in getting access, because, you know, we haven't got enough institutions and doctors to watch over the health needs of our entire population. So using digital really would be a big help for our society moving forward.
Does this only involve the private sector?
Government, you know, I think needs to be involved in it. So it's really very, very key. And the government's role is really on trying to work out how to produce the funding, you know, through field health and other insurance, through the field health insurance, and how to reimburse primary care and preventative medicine. You know, I know that that's on top of their agenda, and we do need, you know, their support on that. But for the private institution, basically, you know, that's where the investment is going to lie, you know. So I think that's really the key, because a lot of digital innovation really comes from that part of the healthcare industry. So they have infrastructure, our big telcos like Globe and the others are definitely very key to this digital world. So, yeah, so I think, you know, just like anything, you need to work hand in hand. But as you know, in the Philippines, the innovation for these types of industries must really be driven by private institutions. But, you know, with the support of the government in terms of providing the right incentives and policies, you know, to support, you know, the growth of the digital healthcare space.
Mm. Aside from the healthcare sector, do you think there is enough opportunities in the Philippines for its citizens that will stop the Filipinos from going out of the country to work and just stay in the Philippines?
Well, yeah, I was mentioning a while ago that, you know, I think being able to provide for, you know, things such as telehealth, you know, the growing investments in more primary or community care clinics, you know, providing for, you know, opportunities for nurses and pharmacies to do home care for patients. I mean, the country is getting so busy, and trying to get healthcare or finding time for healthcare is very difficult. You know, I think the healthcare strategy should have an element, a growing element of bringing healthcare closer to our patients. That's why I related to you that even in the last 3-4 years we've been vaccinating Filipinos in corporate, you know, settings, in drugstores, in places where we could cut off and reduce the price and increase the affordability for vaccines, especially for those who are not covered by corporate insurances. You know, so there's really tremendous opportunities to build up the healthcare. We are really undercapitalized. And hopefully we could decrease the number of people who have to go abroad. I mean, if we just expand the healthcare facilities and have good direct-to-consumer, direct-to-patient models for continuous care happening in their homes.
We can definitely say that health is our wealth.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think the good thing is that we've got a very young population. Our focus, you know, most of the other neighboring countries we have in the developed countries have a high number of aged population that are aging. We have a tremendous opportunity for preventative health. You know, if we put in the right access for the younger part of our Filipino community, you know, and target specifically how we provide more preventative medicine, right? Vaccinations, immunizations, better access to doctors, to kind of enable them to treat their symptoms very quickly and get the guidance that they need on how to really manage their health care. It's difficult because most of the current access points are through the specialists, which, you know, as you know, is not enough to cover for the growing population. So definitely I think it's very, very well suited for us. And we have a tremendous opportunity to provide for preventative health care while our patient population is young.
So we don't need to have brain drain in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah, I think we could minimize it. Of course, you know, there's so many people who really want to sort of do it for many other reasons. But I think over time, you know, I know it's not going to be quick, but, you know, I think we're getting a lot of momentum at the moment. You know, the healthcare, the participation of companies that were never in healthcare before, but in the last 3-4 years have invested heavily in healthcare is really very promising for our sectors. And this is really what, you know, probably personally that really inspires me to continue to collaborate and work out models and, you know, work with our sort of partners to make that accessibility even more reachable for many Filipinos.
Thank you very much, Mr. Raymond Azurin, President and CEO of the Zulig Pharma Corporation.
Thanks very much, Adeline.
Ito ang Radio SBS sa wikang Filipino.